This evening we are concluding our series through the book of Numbers, chapters 11 through 14, the wilderness wanderings. And so this evening I'll be reading from Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 through 38. And you'll remember that Moses has interceded for the people as God has proposed just wiping out the entire people and making a new people out of Moses. And Moses intercedes to the Lord and bases his intercession on the promises of God and on the character of God and on the glory of God. So God hears his prayer, but he gives a final pronouncement of part of the people, the generation of those 20, age 20 and up. So here we're going to hear the words of the Lord to the people of Israel. Beginning in verse 26, hear now the word of God. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and of all your number, listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a year for each day, you shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all this wicked congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall come to a full end, and there they shall die. And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing up a bad report about the land, the men who brought up a bad report of the land, died by plague before the Lord. Of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive. This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, we thank you for your word. And as you tell us, these things are recorded for our sake, that we might be strengthened in our faith. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would teach us from your word. I pray, Lord, that you would be with me as I speak your words, and that my words would be your words to your people. We pray that we would be strengthened in our faith in the Lord Jesus, and that all you have done for us in him would be held before our faces this evening. And I pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, this is a little bit of a gruesome end to wanderings that we've been looking at. And here we hear some hard words from the Lord for this generation. The Lord has been patient with his people. But here we hear the Lord pronounces some pretty hard judgments on this generation of grumblers. And in this passage, we see two things. First, we see the consequence of unbelief. the consequence of unbelief. Which should give us pause as we consider our own lives and our faith, but which encourages and should stir us up to trusting in the Lord and faith in Him. So first, we're going to see the consequence of unbelief. But secondly, in this passage, we see the faithfulness of God. So that's what I want to look at this evening. Consider the consequence of unbelief and the faithfulness of the Lord. So first, we see the consequence is that an entire generation, 20 years old and up, except for two men, are going to die in the wilderness. They're not going to go into this land that the Lord has promised He would bring His people into. What is the sin specifically that they are being judged for? Well, we see throughout this passage the word grumbling repeated a number of times. And this is a word that we've seen throughout the last few chapters. The people grumbled against Moses. The people grumbled against the Lord. And the passage begins with the Lord saying, "How long is this people going to grumble against me?" So the sin is the sin of grumbling against the Lord. But if we look at that grumbling, underneath that grumbling is the sin of unbelief. Unbelief. First, the grumblers do not believe that God is able to bring them into the land. Right? The spies, they look at this land flowing with milk and honey, but they see the giants. There's giants in the land. The Lord, okay, He brought us out of Egypt, but the Lord is not able to bring us into this land. He's just not able to do it. So let's not go in. They don't believe that God is able to do it. But secondly, it's the belief that God is not good. It's the other facet of this unbelief. God is not good. What do they tell Moses? It would have been better if we had stayed in slavery than to go into this land that the Lord says He's going to bring us into. And as they're on the doorstep of the land there, and Joshua and Caleb are saying, "Let's go in. The Lord says the land is ours." They say, "No, it would be better to die in this wilderness than to go into that land with the Lord. The Lord is not good. The Lord said He's bringing us to this land, but He's bringing us into a miserable experience. God is not good." And that is, that's really the dynamic of unbelief. Right? God is not able, and God is not good. So, the Lord says, okay, here is the consequence of unbelief. Those of you who have grumbled against me and have steadfastly refused to believe my promises, you shall not go into the promised land. And here, God says, you know what? I'm going to give you what you want. I have invited you to come into this land that I promised to give to you. And you said, we don't want that land. We would rather die in the wilderness. And the Lord says, then I'm going to give you what you want. You are going to die in the wilderness. that's a scary thought, to think that the Lord might just give you what you want. And so tonight, you consider, what is it that you want? Now, the scriptures hold out the glorious promise that God will be your God, that He will bring you into the true promised land, into eternal fellowship with Him. Is that what you want? But so the consequence here is those people are going to be kept out of the land because of their unbelief. But we also see in this those who grumble against the Lord are going to remain in the wilderness for 40 years. But we're also told in the end of the passage, in verse 36, that there is a specific group of people who die by plague immediately. Those are the men, those are the 10 spies who went into the land. The consequences of their sin is a little more severe. Why is that? Well, because they're the ones, that the Lord says, who stirred up the people to grumble by giving this bad report of the land. You don't want to go into that land. We don't care what the Lord says. Don't go into that land. They stir the people up. God is not good. God is not good. And this reminds us that those who are in leadership have a great responsibility before the Lord. And that's why James says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because those who are teachers will be held to a stricter judgment, because you have an influence on people. But we're also reminded in this of the importance of our words and the way we speak about the Lord to others. So here, the spies were stirring up the people to grumble against the Lord by the words of unbelief. But on the converse, we are called to stir one another up to that faith. And that's why in the passage in Hebrews, which we read, which references this wilderness journey, says, therefore, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, let us encourage one another while it is still called today. Consider that the Lord has put you in the body and has put you in the lives of other brothers and sisters to be an encouragement to them. You may have opportunity this week to talk to a brother or a sister who's struggling with doubts or who's wrestling with the weight of their sin. You can encourage them. You can stir them up to faith by reminding them that the Lord is faithful to his promises, that the Lord is able to bring his work in them to completion, that the Lord who is in them is greater than the one who is in this world. So, brothers and sisters, let us encourage one another. But lastly, as we're considering the consequence of unbelief, we see that the consequences of the sin of this generation impacts not only themselves, but has an impact on their children. That the Lord tells them, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and shall suffer for your faithlessness. That is a sobering passage to think about how our sin doesn't just affect ourselves, but its consequences touches other people. Now, as you look at this and you see the significant consequences of the sin of unbelief, perhaps in your mind, in your heart, you're saying, you know, if I'm honest, I do struggle with unbelief. You know, I grumble because sometimes I just have a hard time believing that the Lord is good. Or when, as I'm wrestling with this the sin in my life, I see the weakness of myself, I'm really wrestling with believing that the Lord is able to, is strong enough to deliver me from this sin. But be encouraged. You can take that struggle with unbelief to the Lord Jesus. Remember the desperate father who came to Jesus and said, you know, there's part of me that believes that you can heal my son, but there's part of me that can't. No, Lord, I do believe. Only help my unbelief. And that's how you can pray to the Lord Jesus. And he knows your weaknesses. He knows your infirmities. And he is able to strengthen you in your belief. Well, we see the consequences of unbelief here, but we also see in this passage the faithfulness of God. And this faithfulness of God I want to encourage you with, and encourage your faith with. Yes, there is a generation of grumblers who have grumbled against the Lord, and the Lord says, you will not go in. I'm going to give you what you want. You prefer the wilderness to my promises, then I'll give you the wilderness. But the Lord says, you do not nullify my faithfulness to my promises. I promised that I was going to bring in the people of Israel into the promised land. I promised Abraham that I would give his descendants the land. And I promised that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And I remain faithful to my promise. So your children are going to go into that land. And there's some irony here that people had said, our children are going to be food for the giants. And the Lord says, these children who you said were going to die, I'm going to bring into that land. Which, of course, highlights the power of God. You know, if you had looked at the people of Israel, and from a human standpoint, you were to guess, you know, if these people go in, who's actually going to survive? Well, it'll probably be the able-bodied, strong men. And the Lord says, no, the children are the ones who are going to go in. And for a moment, it's helpful to consider, why is it that the Lord brings the people of Israel to such a juncture in their history? Now, you know, it was possible that the Lord could have brought the people to a land flowing with milk and honey, which had weak inhabitants. Or he could have brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey with no inhabitants at all. And they could have just walked right in. But instead, the Lord brings them to this land flowing with milk and honey with giants and some people who know a thing or two about war. Now, why would the Lord do that? Well, because he wanted to demonstrate his power. As he brings his promises to fulfillment, he does it in a way that demonstrates that the power belongs to him and not to us. You know, not by might, but by my spirit. And this is what he shows as he's going to bring the children in. The Lord is faithful to his promise. But I want to also to notice that there are two men who are over 20 that the Lord, in fact, is going to bring into this land. Caleb and Joshua. Now, why are Caleb and Joshua going into the land? What sets them apart from the rest of that generation? Well, we heard in the sermon last week that Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit in them. They had a different spirit. A spirit of faith and trust. A spirit that saw God for who he is and believed. And what was that spirit? That spirit was the spirit of God in them. And you know, that was the problem with Israel in this generation. And as you continue reading through the Old Testament, a constant unbelief and turning away, as we heard in the Hebrews, this is a people who goes astray in their hearts because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And because of that, the prophets describe the people of Israel here as a dry desert. Ezekiel looks in and God gives Ezekiel vision. And God says, my people are like this valley of bones. They are dead. But God promised through his prophets. He said, there's a day coming when I'm going to pour out my spirit. You know that spirit in Caleb and Joshua? That spirit I'm going to pour out on my people. And that desert is going to become a forest. And those
dry, dead bones are going to become
a living army filled with my Spirit.
I'm going to pour out that Spirit. Like,
and as the prophets describe it, God says, I'm going to pour out living waters. So they're going to flow out from Jerusalem and water the land, and water the people. Well, God was faithful to that promise. Because you know that generation of children who went into the land? Well, one of those kids was a descendant of Judah. And that child had a son and a grandson and had a descendant named David who had a descendant named Jesus. And Jesus, the promised Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, came, took the sins of his people on the cross, on the third day, rose from the dead. And he poured out his Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus has, the risen Jesus, as he's with his disciples and the resurrection, about to send the Father. He says, waiting around in Jerusalem, because I'm going to send that promised Holy Spirit. That Spirit that was in Joshua and Caleb, that Spirit that was not in the people of Israel who grumbled. I'm going to pour out that Spirit.
And Church of the Living God, that is the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit that is in you by faith in Jesus.
So be encouraged.
You know, we are still on
this journey into the promised land. And we're still on our way to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us.
But he has given us his Spirit. Along the way, there are temptations. We see the weaknesses of our flesh, and we are tempted to doubt, tempted to be discouraged, tempted to give up.
But he who has given you his Spirit
as a down payment is able to bring you into that promised land. So look to him. Look to Jesus and feed on him. Drink from the living waters that he gives.
Go to him
with your unbelief. He is the one who has already gone into that promised land, and he is the one who will bring you and will bring me into it. So let's give him praise, and let's pray to him now.
Oh Lord, our God, we thank you
that you are a faithful God. We thank you that you are faithful to your promises.
And we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who has
not only dealt with our sin on the cross, but who has poured out his Spirit and put his Spirit in us.
And we pray that you would strengthen us. You would fill us with that Spirit.
That you would strengthen our knees as they may be weak, that you would strengthen our hands as they might be drooping, and that you indeed, O Lord, according to your promise, would complete the work that you've begun,
bringing us into the promised land. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.